Corin set his ale down and began to move around the bar. Lauren Tycho, he thought. Tycho is an Imperial agent. I have to get to... Corin slammed into a large Trandoshan and rebounded from the reptilian's chest. Someone clapped a hand on his shoulder and he felt the muzzle of a blaster jam into his ribs. The Trandoshan closed in on the left, pinning him against the man with the blaster. You're going nowhere, pal. Corin looked back and saw the cloaked figure disappear out of one of the back entrances. Tycho was gone as well. Through the doorway swaggered a person swathed in garish clothes. Even in the dim light of the smoke-filled casino, the diamond pupils in his eyes shone brightly. Corin shook his head. The things you see when you don't have a blaster. Zecca Thine didn't bother to smile. Your thoughts parallel mine. He reached back and drew an eerie forge from his shadow. As she came around him, she handed him a blaster pistol. Now I have a blaster, and I'm just full of ideas about what I can do with it. Wedge Antilles smiled as a white-haired woman walked through the door into the safe house. The Provisional Council must be serious about taking Coruscant. They have you here. He offered her his hand. It's been a while, Winter. Wedge, Pash, Winter, Ayella, and Mirax took a moment to sort out each other's true identities. Then Pash cleared his throat. Being my father's son, I have a question. Commander Antilles and I never saw Ayella make contact. How did you know to come here? Winter's expression grew serious. The account number Ayella used to gain access to the datapad in the dress shop was special. Various details about the dress design selected were sliced into municipal computers, coded information directing me here. Wedge nodded appreciatively.
Lucky you can slice into Coruscant's central computer.
Winter shook her head. We can't. We can get into roughly a dozen auxiliary computer centers on a regular basis, but none of the patches we've tried to insert into the central computer have made it. Ayella sat down. If we could bring the central computer down, we'd be set, because it controls all the important things, like the shields and ground-based fighter defenses. Wedge perched on the arm of the couch next to Mirax.
The shields are the key. If they go down, I think most of the citizenry would support a change in government.
Winter nodded. Overall security here is not as tight as I might have expected. That goes for the Imperial Palace, too. I was seated on the promenade nearly 4 hours drinking Espcaf and saw nothing special. We almost had a problem when an Imp Intel officer just happened by. I was afraid one of my companions was going to attack Lure, but he kept his temper under control.
Mirax raised an eyebrow.
Sounds like the kind of reaction Corin would have had.
Ayella's jaw dropped.
You know Corin?
Corin's here? Mirax asked.
And he's in Rogue Squadron? Ayella added.
Wedge held his hands up. I don't know exactly where he is, but he is on Coruscant. He's here with Arisi.
Mirax growled.
The Bacta Queen.
Wedge turned to Winter.
Mirax's exit identity was blown by the imps. We're trying to determine if the security on this operation has been blown.
Any problems with Corin and Arisi? None. Winter thought for a second. I had a team watching them for the first couple of nights to see if any imps showed an interest in them, but that turned out negative. Those teams were shifted to monitor imp sweeps in Invisic. They seem to be picking up Gamorreans in Corin, but no one is certain why.
As Winter spoke, staccato flickers of color outside prompted Wedge to look toward one of the windows. Bright flashes of red and green blaster bolts lit the thoroughfare. He studied the tableau for a moment, trying to make sense of it. Then his jaw dropped.
Everyone down!
The speeder bike he had seen flying toward the window burst through into the room. The rider went one way, and the speeder bike the other, sowing a rain of silicon shrapnel throughout what was supposed to be, ironically enough, a safe house. Corin Horn let himself sag toward the man on his right. The man jabbed him with a gun to shove him away. Corin moved to the left, but when he could no longer feel the gun in his ribs, he took a step backward. The man on his right pulled the trigger, sending a scarlet bolt of energy into the Trandoshan, who collapsed onto a table. Corin tore the blaster from the man's grip, then gave him a sidekick that propelled him toward Zecca Thine. Without waiting to see what happened, Corin spun and ran a zigzag course toward the doorway. Blaster bolts burned past his legs and over his head. He dove through the doorway, kicked a Rodian off a speeder bike, settled himself in the saddle, and headed away as the wind tugged at his hair and blaster bolts streaked scarlet past him. He dove the bike through the night, flashing past level after level of apartments, malls, offices, and grand promenades. Chopping the throttle back, he came around a cylindrical tower and shot off down an alley. A scattering of blaster bolts scored the walls around him. He brought the bike around in a flat spin and shifted into neutral. Hanging there in the air, he grabbed his blaster. Two speeder bikes cut into the alley, racing full bore after him. Corin's first two shots hit one bike on the nose. The control panel exploded in a silver shower of sparks. The blast lifted the driver and pitched him head over heels. Corin shifted his aim to the second bike, but the driver veered away as if he'd had enough, so Corin rehomed the blaster and set off again. With three more on his tail, he set the speeder bike at a moderate pace and took it down farther into the lower reaches of Coruscant. He had no idea where he was, but that did not matter as much as being aware of where his pursuers were. Coming up through a hole in the roof of a passage, he locked the speeder bike in a gently circling course around the hole. He drew the blaster and waited. A Starhawk speeder bike came swooping out of the hole. Something bright flashed at the front of the sidecar. Then Corin felt a thump on the aft end of his bike. The whole bike jolted and began spinning through an awkward spiral that almost pitched him to the ground. "They've got a line on me," Corin thought. He twisted around and tried to see the line so he could shoot it, but it was too slender to spot in the darkness. Given no choice, he shifted his aim toward the Starhawk above and triggered three shots. The Starhawk's pilot slumped forward, and Corin felt his bike begin to slow, but the line held. "Damn, the sidecar guy didn't release me," Corin thought. Corin cranked his throttle up full, but the drag from the Starhawk was making him far too slow. His pursuers were pacing him, but they had clearly decided to call in help to box him in. "I have to get rid of this Starhawk," he thought. He sped on through level after level, then came out into a huge intersection of canyon-like air roads. He pointed the speeder bike straight at the building on one corner of the intersection. It wasn't until he got close enough to see people in the room that he realized he was heading toward a window. At the last moment, Corin hauled the speeder bike around. The Starhawk trailing after him hit the window. He felt a hard jolt. Of all the luck, he thought. Instead of the glass severing the cord that bound him to the Starhawk, the sharpness of the turn had snapped the weakened connectors between the side pod and the Starhawk itself. The pod's occupant had vanished, but the pod was still trailing after him. A half dozen more speeder bikes zoomed after him, giving him no chance to try to shuck off the pod he was attached to. He knew he was being herded toward a specific point, and he desperately wanted to avoid going there. Cruising around a corner, Corin saw bikes closing from above and behind, trapping him in a wide alley that ended in a solid wall 150 meters further on. The alley had no other outlet save up, and what appeared to be a closed loading gate at the base of the wall toward which he sped. He thought about slowing to fight, but the whistling pod behind him reminded him of the folly of that idea. "It'll go through me faster than..." "Hey, that's an idea." Corin pointed the speeder bike directly at the loading gate and kicked the throttle up to full. 20 meters out, he cranked the vector shift back, nosing the speeder bike toward the sky and reverse thrust. With blaster bolts raining down around him, Corin dove for cover inside the building. The pod hit the loading gate's roll-up door with enough force to rip it from the tracks on which it hung. The speeder bike slammed into the falling ribbon of metal, then flew into the building's interior. It tugged on the pod, but the pod was caught on the door, so the cord parted, freeing the speeder bike to careen farther on. The peal of metal striking metal and the scream of the door being torn from its rails snapped Gavin Darklighter's head around. He saw the gate come crashing down, then the riderless speeder bike flying into the warehouse. Blaster bolts shot for more incoming speeder bikes. Gavin didn't know if this new commotion was help or more trouble, but he quickly decided to take advantage of it. He and the other rogues had been brought here from a cantina by members of the Alien Combine, a group dedicated to fighting for rights for aliens. In the cantina, Gavin, out of sheer nervousness, had declined to dance with a petite Bothan named Aesir Saloth, and she and her friends had attributed his refusal to alien bias. They had herded all the pilots to their headquarters. Nuora Venn had been using his lawyer's skills to try to persuade the aliens that they were friendly, when a repulsor lift filled with stormtroopers had burst in on them. Now speeder bikes streamed in the door. As shock faded and the stormtroopers began to fire at the airspeeders, Gavin tackled Aesir Saloth. She clawed at his back as they fell to the floor, but he held on and rolled her to safety behind debris. He came up on one knee to fire, but Aesir yanked him back down as a speeder bike just missed clipping him.
Keep your head down unless you want to lose it.
A minute ago you were planning to have me killed, Gavin said. She flashed him a smile.
A bigot wouldn't have saved me. Come on, run to the open door.
Then she rolled onto her feet and started off. Gavin reached the street and felt someone grab him. He pulled his arm free, then gaped.
Corrin?
Good to see you too, Gavin.
Two speeder bikes shot back out of the warehouse, followed by a third and then a fourth. After them came two Imperial stormtroopers on speeder bikes of their own. The lead imp bike fired a shot from its laser cannon. And melted half the control surfaces on one of the Starhawks. The speeder bike went down hard, spilling the rider to the ground. Corrin snapped off three quick shots. One missed the second imp speeder, but the other two hit. Aesir pointed to a doorway set flush into a wall.
This way!
Corrin waved them on, then ran toward the downed biker. Gavin followed, directing covering fire back into the warehouse. The rider tugged her helmet off, spilling brown hair over her shoulders.
Leave me alone! Aneri Forge snarled at Corrin. No way!
Corrin grabbed her by the shoulder of her jacket to pull her along, but her step faltered.
My knee! I can't!
Gavin handed Corrin his blaster, then swept her up in his arms. Inside the apartment Aesir had led the rogues to, an Ithorian ushered them into a thickly overgrown jungle-like area of heavy humid air, dripping water, rainbow-colored plants, and artificial lighting. As they caught their breath, they took stock. Ural, Sheel, Nawara, Rasadi, and Gavin were all there. Only the Sulistan pilot, Errol Numb, was missing. Gavin eased Aneri onto her feet.
She winced. I guess you think I should be grateful.
Aesir looked surprised.
They saved you from death or worse at imp hands.
Aneri shrugged.
They're the reason I'm here. She smiled cruelly. These are the people who brought Black Sun back to Coruscant.
The Bothan stared at Gavin.
True?
I'm afraid so. Aesir frowned.
Freeing folks from Kessel explains why you've got no love for the imps, but I don't think the rebels will think much of your doing that either. Makes the galaxy kind of small for you. That's a big problem.
Corrin handed Gavin back his blaster. Not really. We're here to figure out how to liberate Coruscant. In comparison with that mission, Any other problem is minor. Admiral Akbar nodded to his aide.
Please show Counselor Aphelia in.
The aide departed, giving Akbar a moment to prepare for the coming confrontation. With the death of General Lauren Crefe at Borlais, the Bothans had lost their most celebrated military leader. The Bothans had no other candidate as qualified to run operations like the taking of Coruscant, which meant any Bothan agenda had to go through Akbar.
Which is why Aphelia's come to me now, Akbar thought.
The hatch to Akbar's cabin on Home One opened, and Borsk Aphelia entered the dimly lit office. Akbar greeted him, then said,
You came to speak to me about Nokwithzor.
Indeed. The reports I have gotten were sketchy.
Akbar sat back in his eggshell repulsor lift chair.
You have the basics. One standard day ago, Warlord Zen showed up in the system with the Iron Fist, launched a wing of TIEs, and proceeded with a planetary bombardment. We had major damage to the Nokwithzor barracks. Many floors collapsed, and we will be a long time digging bodies out. The hangar complex, however, escaped damage. When we get the rogues back from Coruscant, they will have ships to fly.
The Bothan slowly shook his head.
Warlord Zinj is becoming more of a problem. If we do not strike back at him, he will be emboldened and hit us again.
Truly spoken. Akbar cocked his head slightly. You would not be here if you did not have an idea to offer.
What I propose is a bold strike at Coruscant.
We're not ready.
We must be. Nothing in reports from Coruscant gives any indication that Isard is increasing her defenses. If we go now, she will be taken unawares.
Phalia's jaw opened in a predatory grin.
You are not protesting the plan as utter madness. You agree with me, don't you?
Akbar set forward.
I have already sent a message to Commander Antilles directing him to formulate a plan to bring the shields down with the resources he has on hand. Once he replies that he has such a plan, I will give him a target time for effecting it. When the shields go down, we will arrive at Coruscant.
The Bothan's eyes narrowed.
What if he cannot bring it off in time?
Akbar smiled.
You may recall that the Interdictor cruiser Black Asp ran afoul of Rogue Squadron. Their captain, a woman named Uwilla Ilor, defected to the Alliance. This gives us an Interdictor cruiser, something we have not had before. My intention is to send the Black Asp in early and have it jump to the outer edges of the Coruscant system. If the shields are not down, the Interdictor will power up the gravity well projectors and drag our invasion fleet from hyperspace prematurely.
Aphelia slowly nodded.
Elegantly simple, but decidedly effective. The ship will be renamed?
The crew has chosen a hopeful name. Coruscant Rainbow.
Kirtan Lur walked from his dark, cramped office down a short corridor, thinking about the holographic transmission with Yasani Isard that he had just concluded. General Derricote had decreased the incubation period of the virus, and Iceheart planned to release it immediately into the planetary water system, so it would be doing its damage when the rebels struck. Lur entered another room, where a figure sat bound to a chair and flanked by two stormtroopers. Lur took the man by the chin, eliciting a snarl from him.
Nothing you can do will hurt me, Lur.
Ah, you do remember me. I should be flattered, Patches.
Lur looked down at Zekathine and hit him. The man's head rocked back, but the red eyes stared up at him, full of defiance.
You'll get nothing from me, Lur.
But you have nothing I want.
Lur tapped fingers against his own breastbone.
I have something to offer you, however. Rogue Squadron brought you and other Black Sun scum to Imperial Center. Then they followed you. There is only one implication for this. You and they are preparing for an assault on Imperial Center.
Thine stared vibroblades at him, but remained silent.
You will be my eyes and ears within the Alliance community here, Lure said. I want to know their plans. I want timetables, suppliers, personnel rosters, anything and everything. If you give me what I want, I let you live. These stormtroopers will conduct you to a place where you will say you hid after your speeder bike was brought down. You will tell your compatriots that you finally managed to escape.
No one will believe I hid.
Lure looked over at one of the stormtroopers.
He's right.
Before you leave him, inflict a non-fatal abdominal wound. One that won't hamper him too much.
You don't need to do that.
Lure smiled. Oh, but I think we do. And just to show you I'm not a monster, I'll give you a gift. If you find a convenient time to kill Corrin Horn, do so. His elimination will please me no end.
Corrin hated waiting, but it seemed that since he'd left the rest of the rogues with the Ithorian, he'd done little but wait, mostly in a cockpit-sized pod in a biopod hotel. His instructions were to lie low until called for. Finally, Rima came for him and led him to Wedge. Corrin snapped to attention and saluted as Rima left the room. Wedge returned the salute.
Winter tells me you wanted to talk with me?
Corrin frowned.
Winter? Ah, you mean Rima.
He clasped his hands at the small of his back.
5 days ago, I saw Tycho Selku talking with Kirtan Lure, an Imperial intelligence agent.
Wedge looked surprised, then shook his head.
That's impossible.
I know what I saw, sir.
That's impossible, Corrin.
5 days ago, Warlord Zinj attacked our base at Noquivzor. The barracks complex got hit hard. They're digging through the rubble now, but they don't expect to find survivors.
Corrin took a deep breath.
So what you're telling me is that if I saw Tycho, I saw a ghost?
That's about the size of it.
Corrin followed Wedge from the small room into a larger room. Several people he'd helped to escape from the warehouse, including the Bothan Aesir and Fleury Voru, the ex-Imperial from Kessel, were seated around a large round table in the middle of the room. Then he saw Zeka Thine, looking pale and uncomfortable.
Corrin!
Aiella!
He picked her up in a hug.
I can't believe you're here!
Thine snarled. How long is this chummy crap going to go on?
Corrin laughed.
Patches, someday, when you have a friend, this is what you'll do when you haven't seen each other for a while.
Corrin released Aiella, and she took a seat next to Winter.
Corrin noticed that Thine held his right hand and forearm protectively over his stomach.
Gutshot. Painful. Good, Corrin thought.
Wedge remained standing at the table.
I want to keep this as simple as possible. Since the warehouse incident, the Alliance and the Alien Combine agreed to work together to oppose the Empire. The Alliance will have to strike in the very near future and open the gates to Coruscant.
Fleury Voru tapped a fingertip against the tabletop.
Bringing down a planet's shields is not an easy proposition.
Wedge leaned forward on his hands.
Agreed. The central computer complex is the key.
He looked at Fleury Voru.
Is it fair to assume Black Sun slicers have not been able to insert code into the master programs that control the planet?
The white-haired man sat back in his chair.
That's correct.
Thine shifted uncomfortably in his chair.
We should just blow the computer up. Everything will stop and the shields will come down.
Winter shook her head.
No, they won't. Damage to the main computer system will transfer control to satellite facilities.
Aesir spoke up.
Why is it so difficult to slice code into the main computer? There are billions of transactions and messages that go through the system on an hourly basis. Something ought to be able to get through.
Winter answered,
Those codes are changed by the hour, and every day old memory cores are swapped for new ones, then destroyed.
Wedge folded his arms.
How does the data from the old core get into the new core?
They have two banks of cores, and the data is transferred from one to the other.
Corin sat back.
What happens to the transactions that occur while the transfers are taking place?
They get caught on a subsidiary memory bank and queued up to be sent into the main banks when the appropriate cores are free. Then those cores send the data over into the new banks.
Okay, Winner. If something on one of the subsidiary cores was shot over into the main bank during the transfer, it wouldn't be checked by the second bank, right?
Understanding what he was getting at, Winter began to smile.
And altering the transfer code on one of the subsidiary cores so it would send a rebel program over when the transfer was taking place wouldn't be that hard.
Aesir finished her sentence.
Because we Bothans have access to the plant where the cores are manufactured, and we can alter the code used to format the memory cores.
Right, Corin beamed. We send over a program that tells the computer to give us clearance codes and addresses for the shield maintenance programs, and we can bring the shields down at will.
Voru bowed his head in Corin's direction.
Corsac's gain was Black Sun's loss. You have a devious mind. It is a pity you decided to use it to hunt us.
Corin winked at him. That's the trick of it. I can't stand the thought of a criminal who's dumber than I am profiting by his crimes. Neither could my father, which explains why we shortened Patch's career.
Thine glanced up.
If your father was that smart, he'd still be alive.
Corin refused to be goaded. This operation is a little bit more important than punching holes in your fantasies. Still, the time will come. Thine started to get up, but Wedge pushed him back into his chair.
Stay down!
Make me!
Voru's right hand struck fast and slapped Thine on the belly. The younger man howled. Then, as he doubled over, Voru grabbed him by the neck and slammed his forehead into the table. Thine, glassy-eyed, rebounded, and Voru flung him from his chair.
For some people, discipline is a lesson. For others, it is a lifetime.
A shiver ran down Corin's spine.
Voru goes from gracious to vicious in less time than it takes for a light to go out, he thought.
He exchanged a knowing glance with Ayella and saw her shake her head.
Wedge looked at the man on the floor, then shrugged.
We have enough, I think, to begin some planning. Winter, if you can have your slicers begin work on the programs we'll need, that will be a big help. Aesir, we'll need the basic security set up at the computer plant, plus the routines and any computer security information you can get us. He looked at Voru. And you?
I will find out if any of the computer core technicians have any interesting vices we can exploit.
Or an interest in exploiting the vices we have to offer. Everything was going perfectly at the computer plant. Then the Trandoshan from Invisic dropped a memory core that had rebel coding on it. Up until then, the loading process had gone almost without a hitch. Each data core had been packaged with a diagnostic data card. The Imperial technician had selected 40 memory cores at random and run probes on them. If the data matched that on the card, the lot was assumed to be good. 10 auxiliary cores had also been produced. 3 had been formatted with the special rebel codes. Now one was gone. The Trandoshan, whose name was Portha, started to lift one of the 2 remaining cores, but the technician put his hand firmly on the box.
No, you clumsy vermin. You will not select the core. My choice.
Indeed.
Wedge scratched at the beard he had grown to help disguise himself. You are quite right to make the choice yourself, but there is insufficient time to run the diagnostics. Their cards show that they are clean, but you want it clear that you are scrupulous in making your random choice.
Wedge spread his hands out.
There are 5 here. Pick 3. The man frowned for a second, then pointed to the first one and the last 2. Wedge motioned Gavin over.
Take the other 2 away.
Gavin slid the 2 designated units away into the depths of the factory. Wedge hastily rearranged the remaining trio into a single line.
Pick 2 more.
The man designated the 2 on the end.
I choose them.
Good.
Wedge pointed to Pash Kraken.
Take that one away. Now pick 1.
Wedge wanted him to pick the first box, but the technician tapped the second one. Wedge nodded, then scowled at Gavin.
What are you waiting for? Get it into the truck with the others.
As he gave Gavin the command, Wedge rested his foot on top of the chosen memory core.
Hurry up! The man's on a tight schedule.
The technician watched Gavin carry the box to the repulsor lift truck.
People have stopped thinking since the rebellion.
Wedge smiled.
I think you are correct,
he thought. And had you been thinking at all, my friend, you'd have seen that although you made the choice, I decided what the choice meant. He made a mental note to thank his friend Booster Tarek for having taught him long ago how to force a choice.
Suddenly, sparks shot from the loading dock side door and rained down from the warehouse ceiling. A halo of brilliant white fire surrounded the door, then imploded, leaving a smoking hole through which stormtroopers began to run. Turrecrete and steel rained down as teams blasted their way in through the roof and descended on slender lines. Out past the nose of the computer center truck, Wedge saw a Maykoon hover scout's blunt prow batter the far gate. Wedge gave the technician a shove forward, then spun and started running back into the warehouse's shadows. He leapt over a line of crates and crouched down. From his right, Ayala slid him a blaster carbine, then activated her comlink.
Sheel, Oral, Wedge is clear, open up!
From deeper in the warehouse, Oral and Sheel started firing heavy blaster cannons. The scarlet blaster bolts burned their way over the hover scout's nose and punched through the cockpit windscreen. The cockpit exploded in fire and smoke. Wedge knew that the presence of so many stormtroopers meant they'd been sold out at least twice. Once so the Imperial operation could be planned, and again so the Black Sun scouts they'd positioned outside the plant wouldn't warn them of the impending raid. He hit his comlink.
This is Rogue Leader. Things are breaking up here. Come ready to shuck stormies.
I copy.
Ayala crawled over to him and glanced at the comlink.
Do I want to know?
I don't like working without backup. Call Sheel. Get him to use that cannon to burn us a path through this maze.
Ayala gave Sheel the command. And the line of thick red bolts cut over and down. Memory cores exploded, casting fiery debris everywhere. Suddenly, a titanic explosion shredded both the hover scout and the repulsor lift containing the cores. Shrapnel sprayed throughout the loading dock area. The blast's shockwave sent crates flying and tossed Wedge around like a Chadra fan wrestling with a rancor. He landed hard on a crate, shattering it and the memory core it had contained. At the same time, he felt a rib pop on his left side. He grabbed Gavin's proffered hand and got to his feet. The two of them sprayed blaster fire into the black cloud of smoke choking the far end of the warehouse, but very little in return fire headed in their direction. The stormtroopers clearly had gotten the worst of the blast. Ayala, Pash, and the Trandoshan, Portha, had taken up stations around the doorway heading deeper into the factory complex. Beyond it, Nawara Venn and Sheel were wrestling with their heavy blaster cannon. Rizzotti and Arisi were out in front with Uro close behind. Wedge winced as he waved everyone on.
Go! Go! This place is crawling with imps! We were sold out!
Waiting in the plant supervisor's office, Corrin had a bad feeling about how things were unfolding out in the warehouse. The supervisor's holopad had been wired into the warehouse surveillance holocams, and Wedge, Gavin, and Portha marched around on the desktop like pieces in a holo game. Mirak sat behind the heavy steel desk and watched, as Corrin paced behind her. The supervisor's office had two doors. One led to a waiting room with a window that overlooked the warehouse. The other led to a stairwell and the parking area, where Aniri and several other Black Suns waited with airspeeders to whisk the rogues away.
Take it easy, we're almost home free.
I'll believe it when we're away from here and Winter's people can test the code.
Wait, what's that?
Mirax leaned forward and poked at a sparking light at the edge of the hologram.
Someone's burning through the door!
The wall between the waiting room and the office exploded inward. The door leading into the stairwell crumpled and tore free of the hinges.
Corrin rolled onto his stomach and fired. His first shots hit a stormtrooper in the knee. Another fired back, but only managed to trace a line of fire across the wall above Corrin's head. Corrin walked his fire up the stormtrooper's midline, and he fell to the floor. Mirax rose up on one knee and scythed blaster fire back and forth across the last two stormtroopers. Corrin scrambled up on his hands and knees. Let's get out of here! Mirax crawled over to the blasted back door and slid down it to the first landing. Corrin followed. Then the two of them ran down the remaining flights. Heading out through the shadows of the basement garage, Corrin saw the four airspeeders leaving. Racing down a ramp and into the garage came six Imperial Stormtroopers on Aerotech 74Y military speeder bikes. Five peeled off their formation to go after the airspeeders, and one swung around toward them.
Mirax, go!
She darted behind one of the garage's massive pillars and started to cover him, but a laser bolt gouged out a chunk of Duracrete near her head. Corrin ran toward the approaching Imperial speeder bike. He cut to the right, snapped off two shots, then rolled to the side as the bike's laser bolt sizzled over his head. The bike roared forward, and he knew the rider intended to impale him on the spikes that jutted out of the vector control surfaces. Corrin twisted to the right. The spike shredded his jacket, passing just beneath his left arm. He tried to bring his blaster around to get a shot off, but only managed to slam the weapon down hard on the driver's hand as he roared past. The blow made the driver jerk. The bike inverted, spilling the rider, then bounced against the floor and ceiling before it stopped and hovered. Mirax jumped out from behind the pillar and dropped the stormtrooper with a kick to the head.
Now what?
A muffled explosion from above shook the garage. Dust and paint fell from the ceiling. Corrin saw blaster bolts darting through the garage. One of the airspeeders had turned off at the last moment and was racing back toward them, with a speeder bike in pursuit. The airspeeder's driver neatly drove the vehicle through a complex course, never giving the stormtrooper a clean shot. Corrin pointed toward the pursuer.
Fire at the speeder bike! Let them know there's cover over here!
Corrin ran to the hovering speeder bike, grabbed the handles, and swung into the seat. As Mirax laid down a solid pattern of fire that hemmed the speeder bike in, the airspeeder driver barreled toward Mirax. Corrin hit the firing switch on his speeder bike. The laser cannon spat out a steady stream, but the stormtrooper pilot swung wide. That left him in the open for Mirax. Her burst of fire knocked him from the saddle. He hit hard, his helmet splitting like the rind of an overripe Mylurian. The airspeeder came to a stop between Corrin and Mirax.
Come on, get in!
Corrin looked agog at the pilot.
Neri, you came back for us?
Stay if you like, Horn, or come with me. Mirax grabbed Corrin by the shoulder and dumped him into the rear seat, then hopped in beside Neri. I think he got hit in the head.
Go!
Lying in the back of the airspeeder, Corrin swiped a hand across his mouth and it came away bloody. He tore a chunk of the lining out of his jacket and started mopping up the blood.
What happened back there?
I don't know. Neri brought the airspeeder out of the garage and immediately started it climbing. When we heard the explosions, we took off. I wasn't really coming back for you. The speeder bikes were following us out the exit, and I figured that being last in line, I'd be the first to die, so I decided to turn around and make a run for it. When you shot the bike on my tail, the least I could do was pick you up. Mirax patted Neri on the shoulder. Intentions don't count. What you do does. As Neri sped away, Mirax looked out through the windscreen.
Where are we going?
Zeka picked out a location for us to meet if things didn't go as planned. We'll link up there and then see who else has survived this debacle. Neri swooped the airspeeder down and brought it into a small hangar. Lights came on, revealing only a racked speeder bike. Corrin walked over to the bike. He pressed a hand against the cold metal of its engine housing.
You'll want to get away from there.
Zekathine emerged from the building with a blaster carbine leveled in Corrin's direction.
Get your hands up.
Neri, take their blasters. Mirax frowned.
What's going on here?
Corin raised his hands as Inari collected his gun. Patches sold us out. Inari shook her head.
Impossible. He hates the imps as much as you do.
Corin jerked a thumb toward the speeder bike.
The engine's cold. He wasn't there.
Didn't want to take a chance the imps would shoot him up. Thine sneered at him.
I knew you'd figure it out, the way I knew they wouldn't get you. You and your father always were lucky. That's the only way you got me. Your old man was luckier than I was.
My father was smarter than you were. What did you figure you'd tell Voru after everyone else got wiped out in the raid?
Mirax kept her eyes on Thine.
He's got a plan to get away, Corin. He's going to sell you to his Imperial contact for safe passage and a new identity on a new world.
Thine's smile broadened.
Close, very close, except in one detail.
The carbine rose to shoulder height.
Kirtan Lure just wants a corpse.
The whine of a single blaster shot filled the hangar. Thine staggered, then slumped back against the wall. Corin looked over at Inari, at the blaster pistol falling from her hands, then ran over to Thine. Thine grimaced against the pain.
Lure knows about you. I sold you out this time, but someone else sold you out before me.
His head lolled to the side. Inari hid her face in her hands and sobbed silently. Then she quieted and looked over at Corin.
You want to know why?
Corin nodded.
Coming from Kessel, it marks you. No one respects you because they assume you're a criminal. When you tell them you aren't, they just assume you're a liar. Thine helped me escape Kessel. He respected me. He made others respect me. But in the middle of a light fight, you and Gavin ran out and pulled me out of the street. Thine didn't do that. Today he didn't warn me about what would happen at the factory. If you two hadn't been there in the garage, I would have died. And when we got here, his central concern was killing you. Not the fact that I'd survived. Thine didn't respect me. Only my usefulness to him.
Blaster bolts gnawed at the wall as Gavin Darklighter and the other rogues followed Commander Wedge Antilles around a corner. Pursuit had begun almost immediately after they fled the computer factory. They moved through a number of buildings and finally moved up in one. But as they emerged at an upper level, they saw that the building stood alone, with no attachments, walkways, or links to other buildings. The floor-to-ceiling windows provided a lovely view of Coruscant, and an Imperial troop transport grav truck floating up to their level. A stormtrooper in the cargo pod tossed something at the window. It exploded, spraying transparasteel fragments into the room. Wedge shouted above the din.
Stay down! Everyone stay down!
Then something odd happened. The grav truck exploded. A sleek Z-95 headhunter shot up to their level, blasters blazing from each wingtip. The headhunter pulled back as a long black repulsor lift vehicle rose into place. They leaped in, and the vehicle dropped away from the building. Wind whistled through the closing doors, and it wasn't until silence again reigned that Gavin heard the driver's voice. The shocked look on the other rogue's face mirrored his own surprise. It was Imtray. The droid's clamshell head swiveled around to the back.
Captain Selku indicates we have no pursuit and are clear to our hideaway. He also has a message for you.
Wedge was the only one who did not seem surprised to hear that Tycho was not only still alive, but was piloting the headhunter.
Link him through.
Tycho's voice was somber.
Wedge, an urgent message came through for you. We've got 48 hours to bring Coruscant's shields down.
Kirtan Lure bowed before Isani Isard.
Rogue Squadron's escape is regrettable, but our forces have seized their weapon and equipment caches. They are helpless.
Isard shook her head.
Perhaps their first stage was meant to be subtle, but the second may be singularly crippling, enabling them to destroy the central computer itself.
Madam Director, I do not think you believe what you are saying.
He held up a hand to postpone the angry reply her molten stare promised.
Bringing the central computer down would end all service on Imperial Center.
While that would be advantageous for them, the untold hardship it would visit upon the citizenry would work against them. Your plan to drain the rebellion of Bacta and money is predicated on their altruistic nature, which means you cannot believe they would be so crude. The heat in Isard's stare slackened. Then she began to smile.
You surprise me, Agent Lure, with your insight. You have, it appears, grown something of a spine, and I am inclined to crush you for having done so.
Fear clawed Lure's heart, but, and this surprised him, it found no real purchase there. It struck him that fear had been the motivating force in his life. Every threat Isard had thrown at him involved his termination for failure, and impending failure had seemed a constant companion for him. The pressure had not crushed him, and having lived through it, he was stronger for it. Isard nodded slowly.
Very soon this world will become a festering pit of sick and dying aliens. I expect an inordinate number of rebels will be here soon as well. Either them or Warlord Zinj's people. For these and other reasons, I will remove myself to my Lusankia facility. In my absence, you will be the leader of the Palpatine counterinsurgency force. You will annoy the rebels on Imperial Center as they have annoyed us throughout the galaxy. We want them focused on you so they will not look too far ahead.
Lure nodded. I understand your offer and all it entails. I accept.